You want me to take you through one of my favorite praying times is right now? See if your prayer life is like this. Let me do it for you. I have a busy morning. I've got a lot on my schedule. I've got a lot of things to do. I got to get out of the house. So I get up like you and I run through the routine of showering, dressing. In my case, a lot of this, okay? Just spreading them out. Because in my life, every hair has got an assignment of scalp to cover, and you got to get it in the right spot. Okay, you get the idea. And now I'm ready, and I run out the door, and I pop in the car, and I start going down the road, and lo and behold, I've got the radio on. I'm a channel flipper, by the way. If you're doing something I don't like, boom, you're gone. I go to another channel, but I'll be back. Don't worry. Boom, 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 boom. Constantly doing that or something on my phone to get the music I want. And I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden it hits me. You didn't pray this morning. Oh, I better pray. I know God's always listening. God is at the edge of heaven going like this. Mike, talk to me. So I do. And I talk to God. And I start praying. And so lo and behold, here's how my prayer goes. And this is no joke, and you do it too. I'm driving down the road. I got the radio on. If a song comes on I like, I'm going to have to interrupt the prayer by singing the song. You know that, but that's not for right now. I'm driving down the road, and here's how it exactly goes. Lord, I just want to pray for my sister right now and the struggle she's in. And, oh my goodness, they're selling milk at that drugstore, and that is a good price. In fact, you know, the state mandates their prices, but sometimes they can go below that. I don't know how they figured that out. And I don't like going to that one anyway, because I don't like its location of driving in and out. And I'm trying, oh, I was praying, hold on. And Lord, and my sister, and you know that situation. Well, I should stop for milk, maybe on the way home at the other store. I've got a coupon somewhere in my wallet, I think. And you know, oh, you know what? While I'm there, I can get gas, too. Yeah, my car's getting low enough, I'll get some gas, because I got to do a lot of riding today. And lo and behold, I go like this. Bing, 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 and only a couple prayers in between. Now, I'm not going to ask you to judge me on that kind of praying, but what kind of a letter grade would you give that prayer life? Don't you dare do it. I'm not asking for a letter. E, F, G. Okay, can you go below that? How intentional was that? How real was that? How flippant was I with the God of the universe thinking that somehow He was going like this, hanging on my every word as I bounced from thing to thing to thing to thing in my life. Reality is the Scripture. And this one, two goals going on here. One, to realize as we cover the Scripture this morning in Colossians. Everybody have an outline? If you don't, put your head up like to put your hand up, head up. Okay? Just so you can follow along. There's a lot of good notes there. As we go into Colossians, the first thing I want you to see is that God's Word speaks to us about a ton of different subjects, but especially prayer and how to do it. And this morning is just that way. In fact, this morning is not like the other 3 weeks. This morning is the practical method of, I believe, things you could take and literally plug and play. You can take this and plug it in right now into your prayer life, and this works. And the other reason we're doing this for the past 3 weeks, now fourth, last one, is this. I just realized that it is just so easy for me to go through a prayer list of a large amount of people or situations or things. By the way, most of them focused on money and most of them focused on health. Trying to move that ball a little bit. But you know, as I'm driving or as I'm thinking through it, and I go like this, and bless him and bless him and bless her and bless it and bless them, and feel like I've prayed. And the reality is you don't see that in Scripture. The reality is there's a deeper way to pray for somebody, even somebody that's sick, even somebody that's hurting, even somebody that's in loss. I can pray for them, and I can pray for them in a dynamic way, and not just the quick little, bless him, bless her, bless them, bless whatever that is. This morning, we enter into a great piece of Scripture. If you've got your Bible, it'll be up here. We've got it up here, Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning for the reading of the Scripture. Let's honor the word by standing. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. Paul gives us some great instruction about how to pray and how he's praying for the Colossian people. Let me read it for us. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Let's pray. Hey, as you bow your head right now, did you hear that scripture this morning? Did you see that scripture this morning? Did you see elements of your prayer life that are like how Paul is praying? I hope so. And did you even now, before we talk about it for the next few minutes, see some elements that you need to be more mindful of in your prayers? And Father, it's with that attitude that we ask your Holy Spirit to teach us this morning. Teach us, reteach us, reorganize us, and Father, help us to pray effectively, communicating with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll need your notes. If you've got a Bible, you can open it. If you've got a pen, you can get it out. That would be great to do. So I made a little list here, and I don't know exactly what the right answers are to all this, but maybe you can help me, all right? If you needed to lose weight, came under that, I got to lose weight, what do you do? Don't answer it. Some of these could be comedic, and we don't want them to go that way. If I wanted to go on a trip, where does that trip start? If I decided today, which is a good choice, I'm going to be nice to my spouse, when does that start? If you want to meet your new neighbor, how does that start? If you need to clean out your garage, how does that start? If you need to paint a room, how does that start? And if I need to pray effectively, how does that start? Believe it or not, all the answers are the same answer. With the first what? With the first step. To make something happen, I've got to take the first step to make it happen. And that's where we're at here with our prayer life this morning. These are steps, these are personal methods for praying. I'm going to dive right in. You got your outline sheet there. Let's look at point number one. And here it is from verse two. It's very simple. Continue steadfastly in prayer. The first one is this, devote yourself to prayer. It could read this way. And listen to this. Don't give up. Don't give up praying. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And it's written in this mode. Catch this if you can. That I'm to continually do it. I'm to do it all the time. I'm to do it. In fact, if you look at other scriptures, you'll see 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says this. That I'm to pray without ceasing. I'm to hold it. That would be like breathing. You know, I'm not a medical person, and there's several of you sitting in the audience, but let me instruct you medical people on something. Can I do that for just a moment? Doctors, nurses, and everybody in between. You know what? The one thing you have to keep doing to stay alive is this. Mike, write me a prescription if you want. Mike, you must continually keep breathing. You must breathe without ceasing. Mike, in fact, if you stop breathing, then we're going to have another problem. So Mike, continue to breathe. There you go, Mike. In. Out. In. You haven't thought about that all morning, have you? But hold it. This is talking about prayer. Pray without ceasing. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Doesn't the God of the universe, who knows every intricate part of my life, know that I've got a schedule? That some of which He's ordained. Does the God of the universe not understand that I have a busy life? Does the God of the universe not understand that I am a busy person? Does the God of the universe understand how much stuff I got going on out there? I got to tell you something. Let me break it to you. I can breathe without ceasing. Watch me. It's very exciting to watch this. In. Out. Am I doing well? Okay. No. Okay. It's really sad when medical people go, no, you're not doing it right. Okay, I'm sorry. But here I am. I'm breathing. But pray without ceasing? And I've had people ask me over the years about this. And I think it's absolutely fantastic, a great question to ask. Because how in the world can I pray without ceasing? Because I can't do that. Ah, yeah, you can. Prayer, the communication element with the God of the universe, the creator of all things. Listen to me. It's right here. Let me do it for you. Okay? Have you ever noticed this? You lock somebody out while I'm here. I love doing that. You ever notice this? We put these things up and they become very commonplace. Developing mature Christian followers who bring God into everyday life. Hold it, listen. As somebody who believes in Jesus Christ as a child of God, I, wherever I go, bring God into everyday life, and I'm supposed to do this very consciously. And let me keep going here. I do bring God into everyday life. Hold it. I should make a list on the wall here. Every hour, every event, every situation, every appointment, every relationship. Hold it. I'm whittling it down. I'm not done. Every hour, every minute, every second, I'm aware of bringing God into everyday life. Hold it. I'm not done yet. I am incredibly aware of the fact that the God of the universe is involved with me and putting me in situations. And I am aware and consciously aware that I'm in communication with Him through all of it. Don't think for a minute that prayer is the time that you kneel down by the side of your bed every night and you do your famous little prayer. What is it? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Am I the only one who knows these classics? Okay, good. So here I am. And then it turns funny for me. I don't know the real one. I know all the funny ones that come after that. See, I'm by the side of my bed and I'm praying this prayer. And think that's what prayer is. No. I live a prayerful life because I'm bringing God into everyday life where God has put me in everyday life. I'm consciously aware of His presence with me in every single situation, every single experience that I have, and realize that I'm in communication with Him through all these experiences. Good, bad, and in the middle. And a lot of life falls along that spectrum somewhere. I've got a personal prayer that you can write on your sheet. Are they printed? The personal prayer is printed there or not? Or is it empty? It's printed? Thank you very much. Personal prayer, there it is. That I will devote myself to prayer. That I will devote myself to prayer and more realize ever than before that I am being put in a situation by God in my everyday life in every single instance and situation of it. And that's walking with a God consciousness in your life and how He wants to use you. Second point I want you to see is this. And it comes again from verse 2. It's that I need to be watchful in my prayers. In fact, so much so, Paul exactly says here, being watchful in them. And it simply means this, to be alert. I hate when somebody does that. It wakes me up. That's the whole point. To be awake, to be active, to concentrate. And this is in regards to my praying. I never give much thought to my praying. Do you? Because here's my prayers for me. Lord, I pray that You would bless me today and give me more stuff and make me healthy. I got an ache. Please take it away. And that's my prayers. And now we're talking about praying bigger than myself about other people. This means to be alert and aware in regards to other people and how I pray for them. People tell me they get prayer lists all the time. I get several prayer lists from places. Every single thing on it, just 98% is somebody broke a toe, somebody clipped a knee, somebody had a car accident, somebody's kid is sick, and the list goes on and on. And listen, God wants us to go to Him with those needs. But then the bigger prayer is, God, in light of that sick child, what are You trying to accomplish? Lord, I pray that You'd accomplish Your will. Lord, I pray that You would make something happen and further Your kingdom through this illness, through this sickness, through this broken kneecap. Get the idea? It's not just praying for the health. It is praying for God's intentions. In fact, there's a great story in Mark chapter 14. Christ and the apostles get together before Jesus gets taken and arrested, and Jesus is going up with them to pray. Takes this inner group to go with Him to pray. This is a meaningful time. I got to tell you something. I always put myself in this story, and I think this. If Jesus looked at me and went like this, "You, come here." Now, that's not right. Mike, come here. If He did that, this would be a friendly thing. Come with me. I'm going to go up and pray. I'm going to go talk to my Father, and you come with me. Would you stay awake for that? If Jesus did that with you, would you stay awake for that? I would be like this. Let's go. Sorry about that. That's why we don't video the sermons, because that would just be horrible to see over again. Okay? But here I go. And I go with Jesus into this desolate area to pray. And Jesus goes on ahead of me to pray, and I'm going to stay here and pray. Okay, that's good. And what happens? I'm not there but a couple minutes, and what do I do? Well, what did the apostles do? They fell asleep. I probably, and if you know me, I would have been creeping through the bushes. Because I know about that transfiguration thing, which was really kind of neat. I want to maybe get a look at that again. And I might crawl through the bushes to get a look at it. And then there would be another thing in the scripture about Mike crawling through the bushes and shouldn't have done that. But the point of the matter is they go to sleep. And Jesus comes back and is like, you got to be kidding me that you guys sleep. He leaves, comes back again. And then he tells them in verse 38 of Mark chapter 14 that they need to watch and pray. Be alert so you don't fall into temptation. And then makes a comment about us. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's where that comes from. Because this was the end of a long day. And they were really tired. And you know when you're sitting in your house about 10:30, 11:30 at night, and you've had a long day, and you should have gone to bed, but you didn't go to bed, and you got something else to do, and you feel yourself starting to go off. That was the situation. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the truth is we're lazy in our prayers. The truth is, honestly, we're lazy in a lot of our spiritual life. Because I got that Jesus thing knocked down. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. And that gave me the ticket so that when I get to heaven, I know He's got to let me in. And then the rest of my spiritual life as far as intimate relationship. And by the way, you counselors that are sitting here, I parallel the marital relationship with the intimate relationship of Jesus Christ. Intimate relationship here, intimate relationship here. And I am surprised how many people in their marital relationship, this intimate relationship, the relationship they were driving to have, and they finally get it, and they get sloppy about the disciplines with what keeps that relationship where it needs to be in so many ways and facets. They just get sloppy and take advantage of each other, and et cetera, and et cetera. Oh, by the way, if this is news to you, people break up because they don't stay about the disciplines of that relationship. But hold, let me go over here now, over to this side. I always compare the two because the relationship with the God of the universe is portrayed as an intimate one. And I'm so excited about the fact that I came to believe in Jesus. And then for some reason, just like the marriage thing, for some reason, the things that are revealed in the scripture, the God of the universe laying himself out on paper, Jesus laying God the Father out so I can see God. You get any idea? The instructions about my life, etc., etc., that lead me and guide me with what I do. And I'm sloppy about that too. I mean, I don't read the Word because I don't got time. I got more to do. But boy, did I stay up on all the episodes of Game of Thrones. I got them in over the weekend. I binge watched. That's an illustration. I didn't watch that. I just threw that out, but I knew you'd understand that, okay? I had time for that to catch up on last season of whatever. But I didn't have time to get alone for 20 minutes and read the scripture and talk to my Father and develop that intimate relationship. I don't have time to pray, but I've got 20 minutes of time looking at the highlights from ESPN last night of how my teams did. Very interesting. On both these two priority relationships in my life of intimacy, the one with God and the one with another person, my spouse, and I'm sloppy in the disciplines of both. And that's where we're at. So, I thought I would try to help you with maybe two practical helps that would help us at this point in time. And that says the first one is to learn to pray specifically. Keep a list and check it often as you pray through it. If you've never developed a prayer list before, this is a good time to start considering that. If you develop a prayer notebook, even better. But something that you just have for yourself, the people and the events that you're praying through, write them down and be very specific. I believe that God leads you in what you pray for as far as what you should be asking. Great where to go. Do that. Second one is this. And this is going to be tough because I live in a culture where I love my stuff. I got to tell you, I love my computer. I love my iPad. I love my phone. I love all the gizmos and all the lights and all the buttons and all the cool stuff that I get to work. This involves removing any distractions, of which all those things are. Remove any distractions. Make the place that you normally go to or should be going to one that allows you to concentrate on the items you need to bring before the Lord. You can pray while you're driving, by the way. You know that? You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're gardening. I am a great landscaper and worker of the outside. Many people recognize my skill when they come to my house and see what I've done. Hours and hours of working outside. But the reality is you can do that while you're working outside. Painting the house? You can pray while you're painting the house. But you know what? Find that place, that nook, that place that's just for you, where you know maybe that's the place you go to where you meet God at very special times called prayer. Just put that in the back of your mind. And the truth of the matter is this is taking control of your prayer life. This is being deliberate. This is no more than me sitting with a spouse, two spouses, husband and wife, who are complaining about this and complaining about that, and I look squarely at the husband and I say something like this: when's the last time you went on a date with your wife? And they look at me, and some people have said this: we did that before we got married. Yeah, when you were trying to win her, you were dating, weren't you? Why don't you go back out and date her and win her some more while you're married? Wow, somebody just sat there as a couple and thought, we need to do that. All the years when we were early on in ministry, we had absolutely no money, zero money to spend on anything, and a couple of little kids. But my wife and I were committed to spending time together alone, still are. And you know what we would do? This is embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you. We had enough money from the change in my car those early years in ministry where we could have a neighbor girl watch our two little kids before the third one come, and then we would go down to the McDonald's and we would buy a little ice cream cone. And we would sit at McDonald's, very romantic, by the way, okay? Can you just, ladies, you just feel the ambiance of McDonald's and how that warms you up, okay? And we would go down there and get an ice cream cone and we would sit for an hour and we would talk. Okay, now you might think that's goofy. I think that was good medicine because we still got out and we did stuff like that. Didn't do it all the time when we wanted to, but we did it as much as we can. And even to this day, we'll look at each other as I have a busy schedule and she's torn doing other things. And I'll look at her and say, we're due a fill in the blank. And she'll say, yeah, let's go do that. And we go do it. Time together. Oh, it's important for our relationship. It's even more vital for your relationship with the God of the universe. It's taking control of your prayer life and being responsible for it. Look at the personal prayer item that's here, that I might be watchful in my praying. Alert, paying attention. That's what we're talking about. Look at the third point with me, if you would. And that Pastor Matt's going to come out up here and help me with this. And that is this from verse 2. I need to be thankful in my prayers. I need to be thankful in my prayers. This very simply means this: to thank someone for doing something for you. Something that is vanishing from our culture. For the most part, I was out with somebody this summer from my neighborhood. And we went to a local establishment that serves coffee. How's that? I know several of them in the area. And we were in there and we got to the counter and we ordered, which was a couple of drink cups. Okay, this is not unfamiliar to most of you I meet with. And this guy said this to me. He goes, why did you talk to her that way? Well, what you need to know is when the girl gave me the drink cups and I paid and this and that, I said, I thank you. I really appreciate what you do. And this bothered this guy. And he said to me, why did you talk to her like that? And I'm thinking, what did I say that's wrong? I know we're in a very PC culture. I'm thinking, did I step over a line? Did I go over a boundary? Did I do something wrong? I said, what are you talking about? He says, why did you say thank you like that to her? And then at the same time, why did you talk to the manager and thank him? Well, I'm friends with the manager. That's another reason, okay? And I said, well, because they were giving me a service, and I just feel like I should say thank you. And I learned that, and I still continue to thank people who do nice things for me. And he said, not me. Not me. In my life, he goes, that's their job. They get paid for that. And if they get paid for that, they don't need to be thanked. You know, you laugh and you shake your head. That is something that's permeating our culture right now. Of I deserve, you better do for me. I paid for this. You better, you better, you better, you better. And thankfulness isn't even part of that. How many here were raised with a parent or grandparent that said to you, now go say thank you. Go say, yeah, exactly so. I would, with my kids, I would say this. Now you go say thank you. And you know, kid, thank you. And then you come back to her, turn right around there, and you say it to them like you mean it. You've done the same thing, haven't you? All right? You say it like you mean it. And lo and behold, the kid go back, thank you. And then I was satisfied. But the lesson is very important that we learn to say thank you. And the drink cup and the things I'm talking about now is a small scale thing. We're now talking, Matt, about the God of the universe. The God of the universe who brought my very existence to this planet to bear. The God of the universe who, from what I read in the scripture, is expecting thanks and thanksgiving to be a key part of my worship. Is that true?
I think so. I certainly think so. And, you know, Paul, he's coming from this Jewish concept of prayer that I think is somewhat divorced from some of us, but certainly not many of us. I think all who really have an intimate relationship with Messiah Jesus have this attitude almost by default, just because of your close relationship with him. But there's this Jewish concept, and there's two Jewish phrases according to prayer, but they translate into this: attention of prayer and intention of the heart. So there's an attention to pray, not because it's something you must do, but because it helps you. It really is helpful to you to pray and be intimate with God. You're attentive to do it, and you're attentive in it. But that really ties into this intention of the heart part, because we have an intent when we pray. In fact, a lot of the ancient Jewish sages, even before Paul's time, would argue, if you don't pray without intention, it is not a prayer. If you say words, these don't matter. You have to have intention in your heart when you're praying. There must be something you're seeking from God. And the intent could be to praise his name. Amen. Absolutely. That could be in his intent. It doesn't have to be make something happen. You intend for his name to be praised. You could very well intend for you to become more like his son, and you could pray for that. You could intend for others to be healed and get closer to God themselves. But if you're just saying it without that deep intent of the heart, the ancient Jews would say, such is no prayer. And it seems like that is the way in which Paul is phrasing it here. And I like the way the Puritan John Gill put it when he deals with this text. He actually discusses a lot of these same ideas, what prayer means in Jewish thought. But I love how he makes a little comment at the end. He goes, and besides which, if you're not thankful for all the things God has done for you, why on earth are you praying for him to do other things for you? So you shouldn't expect him to do things for you unless you're thankful for what he has done. That's just not even logical. I mean, he gave us breath and life, salvation through the blood of his son. So a little thanks as we seek for other things from him and for him.
Okay, I think a one-word answer, Matt. Let me lead the witness for just a moment if I can, okay? Matt?
One word.
Out of you. Thanksgiving is a pivotal part of my worship of God. Yes or no?
Yes, it's a sine qua non.
Okay, thank you. You know where I see it? I see it this way, that God is involved in every area of my life, and I've got the big issues. God created me. God provided Jesus Christ. God provided my salvation. But Matt, I ramp it down to another level. I ramp it down to every single exchange and circumstance in my life and situation. He is the one who is God in it. And I even thank him down to the micro level that God is taking me and using me and putting me in places. And I thank him for that as he's doing it. Am I valid in that or not?
Yes.
Thank you. You just stand there and keep saying yeses through the rest of the sermon. I appreciate that. But I'm going to let Matt get away on this one. Matt, how pivotal was Thanksgiving in the worship, especially of the Old Testament folks? How pivotal was thanks and Thanksgiving?
Well, earlier when I used that phrase, sine qua non, it's just Latin for meaning indispensable part. So if you took that part out of it, the whole thing collapses. There just isn't a prayer without thanksgiving. And, you know, we speak to God, our Father, who's done all these amazing things for us, and we want to have a connection with him. That's just, there's such a degree of overlap between thanksgiving and speaking to him that it would be unnatural to try to separate them anyway. So we should just foster that attitude when we pray.
Thank you very much, Matt. Great insight. Listen carefully to me. And this attitude of thanksgiving for the child of God goes in this direction. Listen carefully. I know when things are good. I thank God. I know when the new boat gets delivered outside. I thank God. I know when my new car is here. I thank God. And my house is wonderful. I thank God. And the baby is fine. I thank God. My latest medical report is good. I thank God. But listen, here's where the rubber meets the road for the child of God. When things are not good and the news is bad and then the news gets worse. Hold on, I'm not done. And the circumstances don't go well, and the sudden passing of a friend or relative that I didn't see coming, and that happens, and I have extreme loss, and oh, by the way, I don't have enough money for the bills, and oh, by the way, what's that pain? And oh, by the way, so-and-so, you get the idea? In the midst of circumstances and situations where they're less than positive, this is the thing that sets us apart from the average person out there. I thank God. The God of the universe who knew all that and put me in all that. The hardest place to say thanks might be the easiest place to say thanks, and that's during tough times. There's a personal prayer item here, and it's this. That I might give thanks in my praying. That I might give thanks in my praying. Point number 4 from verse 3. And it's this. Paul prays that God may open a door for the message. It's interesting to note here that in all probability, Paul is writing from prison with all the terrible conditions that existed in those days. And he doesn't pray like I would pray or you. He prays that, not get me out of here. You'd be getting a postcard from me every day. Pray to get me out. Pray for my freedom. Pray to get me out. Pray for my freedom. Paul doesn't pray that way. He doesn't ask for his release or any help, really. Instead, he asks for this. He asks that a door might be opened. That's interesting, because if that prayer got answered by God, it could mean it's worse for him. Because he was in prison because he was sharing Christ. And now you're praying for more doors to open to share Christ? What is the matter with you? But look what his focus was. Look what he was aiming at. This is the same person in Philippians chapter 2:17 who prays this way and says and feels that his life is being poured out like a drink offering. If I did that for you up here with a drink offering, every bit of it is poured out. Every bit of it, nothing left. And he saw his life as just that, as a place and a conduit for the message of Jesus Christ to flow to the people who needed to hear it. Now, typically, my prayer life, I am permeated by my prayer life. But in this case, I pray a whole different way, that no matter what happens in my life, that a door might be opened. In fact, somebody said this years ago, and I remember it. He said this, suppose in your prayer life, everything you prayed for your entire life, every time you prayed, God said, yes, you can have that. I'll give you that and I'll give you some more. Suppose every prayer you prayed, God answered in the yes. Now, I'm talking to you as an older person, looking at all the prayers that you prayed that all got answered in a yes. And the question he had was this, very good question. How much would the kingdom have been furthered by the answering of yes to all of your prayers? Well, I know this. If all the prayers to me were yes, first of all, I'd be 6'2", 6'3", maybe 6'4", kind of built, you know. I don't know what that was, but you get the idea, okay? Kind of built. And I know that I'm not going there. That's an automatic. But I've never prayed for that, so maybe I should try. But I know money. Phew, I got money. Stuff? I got stuff. Athletic, beyond belief. Smart, you can't touch my scores. I would just be, hold it. I would just be, hold it. I would just be. Most of those prayers were about me. They weren't about what God wanted to do through me or around me, or his purpose. And as I live my life, and might get sicker, live my life or experience some tragedies, which I have, you all have, I have. How has God used those? And my prayer might not, should have always been to get out of those situations. But God, how do you want to use this situation for your glory? And is this going to open a door for me to speak about your son, Jesus Christ, to these people? Listen, as my life is being poured out like a drink offering, not about me, about you. Whew. Personal prayer item here. Look at it. The end of this point is this. That I might pray for a door to open so that I can share Jesus Christ. It's the prayer I had for Richard. And there it is. Point number 5, last one. We also pray, and this dovetails with this, that we might proclaim the mystery of Christ. Other versions say that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. We're praying for an open door, and then we're acknowledging God opens that door, and the door is an opportunity, either in word or action, to share Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 14 talks about us. Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Paul says this, that God had opened a door to the Gentiles for us. I don't know about you, we're the Gentiles, non-Jews. This is the beginning of the ministry to our kind of people, the Gentiles. And this mystery of Christ is a terminology that usually means in reference to something that's hidden in the Old Testament and made known in the New. Obviously, Jesus Christ, the new life in Christ, and eternal life. And no matter where we're at in life, whatever our plight, our blessing, our fortune, good or bad, we seek to proclaim Christ to those, listen carefully, to those who know Him, fellow believers, and we seek to proclaim Christ to those who don't know Him, those who've not come to belief yet. There's a personal prayer item here, and it goes like this: that I might proclaim Christ in every aspect of my life. We've been ending these sermon times. We've been doing two things that you should have taken note of. One is this. We've been having the same song every week to end, which has been very meaningful and well done, Tyler. Thank you. The other thing is we have been doing leadership prayer time, where we invite you to go stand near a leader. You don't have to pray. You just have to stand. And the leader will pray for you as a group in regards to one of these personal prayer focuses that we've been putting out. So this morning, since Matt is back with us, Matt, could you stand over here? Matt's going to lead a group on one of these personal prayer focuses that we went through, one and or two of them. Would you stand over there? We can do that. Jerry, would you come up here? Jim, sorry, in the corner. Okay. That always happens. Bob, would you go stand toward the back? Laura, would you come to the middle here? Glenn, can you go to that corner? I've been wanting to put him in a corner too for a long time. Glenn, go ahead. Okay, thank you. All right. Around the room, you've got different prayer leaders. I'm going to ask you to very simply pick out one and go to them and stand around them in a group. You don't have to pray. You will not be embarrassed in any way, shape, or form. You will go there, and that leader will pray over one of these personal prayer items with you guys as a group, one and or two of them. So I'm going to ask you now to please stand and try to equally divide amongst leadership. Okay, have we found our groups? Have we found our groups? You gotten around your prayer leader? Just going to take a couple minutes for this? Okay. Okay, please pray in your group. When you're done, you can head back towards your seat. Thank you. Our Father, we thank You for this time that we've had together praying, seeking You out. And Father, we realize that You've just not called us to salvation, but You've called us to be used as Your tool, where You've placed us dynamically and strategically in the area with family and with friends, even with people we don't know very well. So, Father, we pray right now that as we go from here, we'd be much more mindful of how we communicate with You, what we ask for, what our heart's desire is in all the situations You have us involved with. Father, all Your glory and to Your further Your kingdom, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.